Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know that you have 1 week, 1 week to snag some Cousins on Crime merch before our merch shop closes on August 30th. Head to the link in our show notes to get your merch today. As a listener of our show, you know just how important it is to be vigilant when you're out for an evening run or walking to your car by yourself, especially if you're a woman. Women are easy targets for predators, but it doesn't have to be that way. You should be free to do you and feel safe, and I feel safer than ever with my Birdie personal safety alarm. It's made for women, by women, and you can get yours for 10% off today when you use code COUSINS15. By supporting our sponsor, you're supporting our show. So go to shesbirdie.com and use code COUSINS15 for 10% off today.
Hey y'all, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good, good.
Back on a Monday night.
I know, Monday night. What? Daniel was like, are y'all recording tonight? This was last Thursday. And I was like, no. And I was like, why would you think we record on Thursdays? And he's like, because I thought that's when...
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, we change it all the time. Yeah. So, Monday night vibes, bear with us.
Yeah.
Have a good Monday or like a bad case of the Mondays?
No, it was pretty good. I got my work done fast.
Okay.
And
nice.
I was supposed to go back to the dentist for this.
Ew.
Do you remember whenever I went in for a cleaning and they're like, oh, you have a cavity? And I had no problems before. And ever since they fixed this supposed cavity, I've had issues like sensitivity.
Oh, no.
And so... today was going to be like the third time going in to see why, and they called and rescheduled. So I'm not dealing with that. So that's good. I thought I was going to be in pain while I'm...
But like, don't you want to get this taken care of and out of your life?
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why they rescheduled is because they want the one of the specialists to be there. And I'm like, okay... like, what are y'all going to do? Y'all going to be pulling my tooth next or
you're
what?
You're a special case.
I'm like, I don't like this. And then they're like, we're going to call you in an antibiotic. And I'm like, nothing is wrong with my tooth except it hurts when
except
I chew.
For you. You are wrong with my teeth.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Frustrating. Well.
At least I'm not going to be slurring my words today.
Right.
Well, maybe.
And have a droopy face or a frozen face on one side.
Yeah.
Well, you look cute, so.
Thank you.
You don't have to say I look cute because I know I don't.
Actually, you really do.
You know when people are like, thank you, so do you. You don't. You're off the hook. You do not need to reciprocate.
I actually really like your shirt. That's really cute. Is that one of the ones that you got for Mother's Day?
Yes. Daisies and poppies.
I love that.
How cute is that?
I've seen so many things with daisies on them, and every time I see it, I think of y'all.
Daisies are very in these days.
Yeah.
Very in. It's very trendy because it's like 90s. Like 90s
the 90s trends are back, like smiley faces, checkered patterns, and the like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I need... I'm, like, always looking for poppies because I'm like...
I know.
Need both. Anyway, enough small talk.
Enough of that chit-chat. What you got?
Okay, so this case, there are three women, each of them young and vibrant. They all have this similar angelic look in their face. Oh. And we're going to get started with Annette Craver. Okay. September 1981, Annette Craver was 15 years old. She was brunette and was soft-spoken. At this point in her life, it was just her and her mother, Mary Rose. They were living together in Houston, Texas. And Annette's father had died in a car accident when she was like 13, so two years prior. Annette started to get secluded, and she spent a lot of time alone. She would write poetry and record herself talking, you know, the cassette tapes.
Oh my gosh, I used to do that.
So yeah, she would record herself talking, singing, or playing her guitar. One day that September, Annette and Mary Rose were having a garage sale, and a man came up on his motorcycle, and he kind of lingered around. He talked to Annette, and Mary didn't really pay much attention to him because, I mean, she was helping other customers. What Mary Rose didn't know was that Annette had already met this man. When she went into the city one day in Houston, she met him. His name is Felix Vail, and he was 40 at this time.
Ew.
Yeah, so she's 15, he's 40. Have you ever heard his name, Felix Vail?
No.
Okay. Mary was having trouble making ends meet, and after the death of her husband, she was having a difficult time finding a job in the area. Her plan was to move to Oklahoma, where she had a job opportunity. Annette was at a milestone in her life. At 15, she had skipped two grades and was a senior in high school. She was about to graduate, and Mary didn't want her to uproot her life and move to Oklahoma, so a friend agreed to take care of Annette so that she could stay in Houston and graduate while Mary went to Oklahoma. Annette and Mary would write letters back and forth to each other. I miss those days of writing letters. Did you have pen pals?
Yeah. Well, you know, me and Chelsea would write, like when one of us would go on vacation or it was the summer, we would write each other letters. And we, of course, passed notes in class.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And me and Daphne used to write letters to each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I miss that too. Snail mail.
Yeah, I think we need to bring it back.
I know.
We should have been writing letters all this time to each other.
I know. We should have. We can still do it, even though we'll be down the street from each other.
I think we should.
Just a couple blocks away.
But they would write letters back and forth to each other. Annette would mention times when Felix would come over to visit her. Mary would later come to find out that the relationship with Annette and Felix was a lot more intimate than she was led to believe.
Ew.
Yeah. This all took Mary Rose by surprise. I mean, Annette, 15, Felix, 40. Yeah. I mean, he was actually older than Annette's mother.
Oh, I'd be mad.
Yeah. With Annette's father gone and her mother away, she felt abandoned. And she actually said that in one of the letters that she wrote to her mother.
Oh, that's really sad.
It is. And I don't know if she was looking for security from an older man, but she would end up leaving with Felix on a road trip to California.
Oh, I don't like this.
Yeah. Mary Rose wrote to Annette and told her that she finally saved up enough money to buy a house for both of them in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow.
She put the house in both of their names, and she was so happy that they would be back together again.
Aww.
But by this time, Annette was gone with Felix. Mary's excitement had turned into devastation. Annette was gone for about 2 years. She continued to write back and forth with her mother, but the letters never came from the same place. Like, she could see that Annette was just moving around.
Oh, no.
One day in 1983, Annette called her mother asking for permission to marry Felix in California. She was 17 at this time.
Oh.
In the United States, you cannot marry until 18 years of age unless consented by a parent. And even if it is consented by a parent, some, like, it's different in each state, but like some states you can marry as young as 14 if the parent agrees.
That's disgusting.
It's crazy. Like, I can see back in the old days, like, that was normal.
Well, Grammy and Granddad, Grammy was 15 when they got married.
Yeah.
But that was when?
It was a different time.
I mean, back then, you get married, you start a family. It's the way things were for everybody.
Yeah.
I feel like the 80s were a little more modern.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like that's not the way things...
Well, and especially to a 40-year-old.
Right.
So Mary Rose told her that she was making a huge mistake and told her that she did not agree to it. She asked her, just wait till you're 18. Maybe by then she'll change her mind. Annette told her that they would just go to Mexico to get married. And I'm not sure what the law in Mexico was at that time, but I believe now in Mexico you have to be 18 as well. But fearing that she would lose her daughter, Mary Rose agreed to the marriage. Shortly after they were married, though, Annette wrote another letter to her mother telling her that Felix had changed and that he forced her to get an illegal abortion and that he was very controlling.
Yikes.
Mary Rose was able to convince Annette to come home. Annette wanted to get back on track, go back to college. Mary Rose, she noticed that her daughter was not acting herself when she arrived back home. She would just blankly stare and just look so lost and confused. Felix started calling Annette over and over, and when he did not have any success contacting her, he showed up at their house in Oklahoma. He walked through the door and went straight to Annette.
Yikes.
Mary gave them some time alone so that they could talk. And a little bit later, Felix and Annette came to Mary and told her that they wanted her out of the house.
I'm sorry? Wanted her out of her own house?
Yeah. So, because remember, both Mary and Annette's names were on the house. And so Mary begged Annette not to do this. Felix already had his control over Annette again. So Mary let go of her half of the house. She just signed it over. I think Annette paid her $7,000 or something. I read that in a report. I don't know how true it is, but Mary ended up moving to California. She just felt at a loss.
Wow.
When Annette turned 18, she was able to cash in the money that she was entitled to from her father's estate. Felix forced her to sign over all of the money to him and deed the house to him as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. When Mary found out about this, she called Felix and he told her that Annette left on a bus to Mexico, like signed over the house to him and left on a bus to Mexico. Mary immediately hung up the phone and called police and filed a missing persons report.
Yeah.
The police went and questioned Felix, and they believed him that Annette left on her own.
Oh, Lord.
I heard and read that Felix apparently had a way of talking to people. He was smooth talker.
Most psychopaths do.
Mm-hmm. So Mary was yet at another loss of what to do. No one would listen to her. 7 years had gone by and Mary had not had any communication with Annette. No letters, no phone calls.
Wow.
Mary thought, okay, even if she's mad at me, why has she not contacted any of her other family? I mean, Annette adored her grandmother, and even stopped all communication with her. Mary Rose wrote letters to the police, the DA, the FBI, and even Felix to try to get answers. But by this time, the internet had started. It was fairly new. I think the internet started in the early 80s. So Mary had the sense to get online and start researching. She found Felix's sister, Sue Jordan. Sue agreed to meet with Mary and told her that Felix was married before.
I'm sure he was 40.
Yeah. He was married to a woman named Mary Horton.
Okay.
Mary Horton had drowned in the Calcasieu River in Louisiana.
Oh.
Yeah, she drowned when Mary and Felix had a son, Bill. He was just a few months old when Mary drowned in the river. She also told her that after that, Felix had a girlfriend named Sharon Hensley that went missing. Mary Rose then found Mary Horton's family in 1993 and spoke to her little brother, Will Horton. Mary Rose called Will and said, "You don't know me, but Felix Vail married my daughter and she's missing now."
Oh, no.
And she told him that she had talked to Felix's sister and was told about Mary Horton's drowning and learned that Felix also had a girlfriend that went missing shortly after that. She said, "I think Felix murdered your sister."
Oh.
I mean, think about that. You call someone 30 yeah. years after their death, the death of their sister, and you tell them that you think she was murdered instead of an accident.
Wow.
That's a bold claim.
That is.
Yeah. So Will said, "Oh my God, like, what can I do to help?" He said he was a sophomore when his sister drowned. And to him, that's what he always believed, that it was just an accident. And Mary Horton had an older brother, Alan. He was like, I think, 7 years older than her. They were closer when they were younger. Like, he was more like her babysitter.
Yeah.
And so by the time she went to college and got married, he was off doing his own thing, so they weren't that close. They said that there were some speculation of murder, but there was just never really any proof, and nothing was ever investigated. Mary Horton was so special to her family. I mean, she was kind, and she was voted homecoming queen. She was the editor on the school newspaper. In 1960, she went to study at McNeese State College, and that's where she met Felix. Apparently, she was like the girl everyone wanted. She had apparently had a lot of boys or men lined up wanting to date her. But Felix was the one that got her, and they got married after 6 months of dating. It wasn't long, and she was pregnant with her first son, Bill Vail. She loved and was obsessed with her new baby.
Aww.
Felix became controlling and told her that if she ever got pregnant again, there would be consequences.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. When Bill was just under a year old, she did get pregnant again.
Yeah. Yikes.
She went to her parents and asked to come home and told them that she wanted to leave Felix. And her mother suggested that Mary go back to Felix and try to work it out. She said, "Go home, see if you can work it out, and then come talk to me." Well, she was never able to come back and talk to her.
Oh, I hate it.
The evening of October 28th of 1962, Mary had left Bill with her mother, and her and Felix went out on a friend's boat to the river to do some fishing at the Calcasieu River. Felix says he was driving the boat, and Mary yelled out that there was a tree stump. He had to make a sudden turn to miss it. Mary fell overboard, and he could not find her. It was dark at this point. He drove back to shore and called police. Well, police made notice that Felix had to drive by several boats, a few docks, and an ice house that had people there. before he even got to shore. Why would he not alert or ask any of them for help? They arrested him. 2 days later, Mary's body was recovered from the river. Mary was just 22 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Investigators were sure she was murdered. I mean, she had a large open wound on her head. She was gagged with a scarf and her sleeves were covered in blood. The coroner made a different ruling of an accidental drowning.
What?
I think he thought, well, maybe she had the scarf around her neck and when she went into the water, it just went above her.
Oh, come into on. Her mouth. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So the coroner says it's an accidental drowning. And so no murder investigation happened and Felix was let go. Later, they would find out that Felix took out an insurance policy on his wife.
You don't say.
And this policy paid double for accidental death.
Whoa.
I think at that time he got a settlement of $10,000. And get this, he did not even pay the funeral cost. Didn't buy a headstone.
Ew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some kind of guy.
Sounds like a stand-up guy.
Yeah. So after years of thinking about it, and now hearing all of this, Will says his sister was actually scared of boats. Why would she have gotten on that boat willingly?
Oh, I hate this. I hate this. Like, you know when people are like thrown off a cliff and stuff and they're like, they hated hiking. Why would they go hiking? It's like, could you have picked another way? You know what I mean? That wouldn't have...
Right.
I mean, don't murder someone, first of all. But like, seriously...
Yeah, yeah. So also another interesting thing was Felix said that they were going trot line fishing, but the area where Mary had fallen in was a terrible place to trot line fish. Mm. So anyway, upon hearing this, Mary Rose had more of a fire lit inside of her to find her daughter and to get justice for each of these women. She did her best to get more and more evidence. Will also told Mary Rose that through the years, he and his family had received several calls from someone looking for a woman named Sharon Hensley, the missing girlfriend. So Sharon Hensley was an ex-girlfriend of Felix Vale's, and she had been missing for years at this point. Mary drove to Bismarck, North Dakota, and met with Brian Hensley, Sharon's brother. He says his sister Sharon was a ray of sunshine and a free spirit. It was the 60s, going into the 70s, the hippie era. She loved dancing and socializing. Sharon left home in 1970 on a trip to California. It was the summer of love, and she just wanted to go enjoy life. Following the death of his wife, Felix became sort of a hippie and sort of a traveling preacher, recruiting for his own personal cult.
Ew. Charles Manson much?
Uh-huh. That's what it sounds like. So this is when he met Sharon. They wandered around the vineyards in California, eating all the grapes they wanted and did whatever they wanted to do. Brian said that Sharon had expressed her fear of Felix and how controlling he was. She called home one day and her parents could hear in her voice that something was wrong, but they didn't know how to help her. Sharon and Felix showed up, actually, one day at Sharon's parents' house. And as they were at the dinner table, Sharon's dad starts asking her questions like, where have you been? What you been up to? Like, what's going on here? Felix would talk over her and answer the questions for her. Sharon's dad said, would you shut up and let her speak? And Felix, he shut up. Good. He looks at Sharon and gives her a nod, kind of like giving her permission to speak.
Ew.
Yeah.
Get a life.
And you know, this girl who loves socializing, loves, you know, she's a bubbly fun, and now she's being
totally changed,
permitted to speak. So as Sharon and Felix were leaving their house, her parents begged for her to stay, but she was adamant to go with Felix. Shortly after that, her family received a letter from Felix saying that Sharon left him. She got on a boat to go to Australia with some strangers that they met in Florida.
Okay.
Her family did not believe such lies.
No.
They, too, filed a missing persons report, but nothing ever came of it.
Wow.
Another uncovering was a police report from California. Initially, when Felix went to California, he left Bill with his parents in Mississippi. Eventually, he went to get Bill and took him to California with him. Bill had to follow everywhere his dad went, and he endured so much abuse.
Oh, bless him.
When Bill was 8 years old, he came into the police station with bare, dirty feet and told them that his dad was making him smoke marijuana and take LSD.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, "I want to go home." So Felix and Sharon were found and they were arrested on child endangerment charges. Mary Rose went to Kansas and met with Bill. Bill told Mary Rose that Annette had actually come to his wedding with his dad, Felix.
Oh.
So now, years later, an adult with his own family, he didn't want to say much about his father. He didn't want his father coming after his family. He knew that his father was a dangerous man.
Yeah.
However, Bill was ready to tell his side of the story if it meant justice for his mother, for Sharon, and for Annette. Mm-hmm. In 2008, he voice recorded his story.
Wow.
He talked about how he overheard his dad tell Sharon that he murdered his first wife. Sharon says, "Oh, I know you must feel responsible for it." And Felix says, "No, you don't understand. I really did kill her."
Yikes.
Shortly after that conversation was when Bill went to the police at 8 years old. He had to testify in front of his father about what he had gone through with him, like how they lived off of grapes and drugs.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But 3 months later, Sharon and Felix were let go, and Bill was adopted by his grandparents. When Bill was 13, Felix came to visit him.
No.
And Bill asked where Sharon was, and Felix said, "She would never be bothering anyone ever again."
Oh, Lord.
Well, Bill knew exactly what that meant.
Yeah, I bet.
But he felt that he couldn't tell anybody about it, or else the family would reap the consequences. So just a few months after his recorded confession, in 2009, Bill actually passed away from cancer.
Oh, no.
I know. Mary Rose was finally able to contact an FBI agent with all that she had found, Bill's confession, or, you know, his side of the story. So an agent was finally willing to pursue these cold cases. At the same time, the Bureau had budget cuts and let this agent go, disrupting this cold case team.
I hate, like, when there's no continuity in cases, like,
And it's like something perfect has to click for it to even go anywhere.
I know. Ugh.
So Mary, she was not about to quit. I mean, she reached out for help in a different way. She's very creative in this way. I mean, even though it was taking years, she's like, "What can I do now?"
Yeah.
So in June of 2011, she was listening to the radio. When she heard about this investigative reporter with the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi, he had solved a cold case, what they called the Mississippi Burning Murders.
Oh.
Her ears perked up, and she knew she had to call this reporter. His name was Jerry Mitchell. She asked him, "If you knew that there was a serial killer living in Mississippi as a free man, would you be interested in the case?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." So when they found out that Felix in fact, was living in Mississippi. Mary told Jerry that she was going to go confront Felix. And he was like, well, I'm coming too. He lived in a trailer park next to an old burned down house. And Jerry was feeling unsure and uneasy about the situation. Like, Mary Rose was like...
going in, guns blazing.
Looking in all the windows, peeking in, knocking on the door. And it's in the distance, he could see a wooded tree line. Yeah. And he's like, is somebody watching us? Like, what's going to happen here?
Sketchy.
So Mary Rose said she wasn't nervous. She didn't care. She was on a mission to find the truth. So once they walked up to this trailer, they noticed that a back window was missing. So Mary, seeing that nobody was home, crawls in.
Oh, that's so scary. She enters his home. Oh my gosh.
She's very bold. Mm-hmm. I love that about her. She found a bunch of religious texts and a pile of weapons.
Oh.
Jerry said that she started tossing out. Well, first, when she went into the trailer, she went through the window, and then she came and opened the front door so Jerry could come in. So she starts tossing, he says, machete after machete after machete, then sword after sword. And he said,
yikes.
It was just so eerie. As she came out of the house, they saw a woman running toward them.
Oh, my God.
This woman was a little sister to Felix. Her name is Kay Faulkner. She lived next door to Felix. She was like, what is going on here? Like, she's all,
oh, we're the house cleaners. We're here to clean up around here. What did she say?
They told her why they were there, all the backstory and all this. So Kay says, oh, yeah, I think he killed these women.
Oh, Lord.
So Jerry ended up writing a story about his and Mary's investigation and titled it Gone. This story obtained several awards and finally sparked an investigation with the FBI, and the cases were reopened. The only case that they could try Felix on was Mary Horton's, since that was the only one that had a confirmed body. By the time they located Felix, he was living in Canyon Lake, Texas. I mean, dude was all over the place.
Ugh.
And I mean, from my understanding, he started in Montague, Texas, and then he lived in Mississippi, and then lived in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He traveled to many other states, California, North Dakota, through others, Florida. So they then find him in Canyon Lake, Texas. They searched Felix's house and found more weapons and almost 2,500 pages worth of journals that Felix wrote, stemming from the 80s to 2010.
Wow.
Reading through the pages, it was clear that he had a controlling and abusive behavior. He also talked about drinking blood.
Ew.
But they didn't see anywhere written that about murders or the girls' disappearances. I really hate to tell y'all this, but all of the records on Mary Horton's death were gone.
What?
Just disappeared.
Ugh.
Even the police report.
What?
Yeah, so with little evidence and most of the original investigators gone, like either moved off or dead, this case was going to be difficult. However, God provided.
Hallelujah!
Investigators were able to locate one man that was still alive, that was there at the river when Mary Horton was pulled out. His name is Ike Abshire. He now, at this time, was 90 years old.
Wow.
When the investigators came to talk to him. He was on his father's boat that night, and he saw Mary's body. He gave investigators an envelope. He says, by the way, I've been holding on to this. So he gives the investigators this brown envelope that says the word keep. So they open the envelope. Inside were pictures of Mary Horton's body when she was found at the river.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they could see evidence of the scarf around her neck tightly, gagged in her mouth, bruises on her legs.
Wow.
In 2014, Felix was finally charged in Louisiana for the murder of his first wife. Ike was able to testify how he saw that scarf was wrapped around in her mouth.
Wow.
Her neck was all swollen around it. And the scarf was tied in a knot. He says, on stand, he says, it was no woman's knot.
Thank you for your honesty.
Yeah. Leave it to the 90-year-old man. So Ike was the key to this conviction. 3 months later, after Ike was able to testify, he died of old age.
Bless him.
3 months later. Like, wow. Isn't it amazing that God allowed him to live long enough?
That is so great.
Yeah. So he gave this information and was able to get a conviction. Even the miracle that Bill got to tell his side of the story before he died.
Yeah.
I mean, just before he died.
Wow.
So Felix tried to argue that the gaping wound on Mary's head had been from the oar when he used it to try to save her. And he must have hit at her head whenever he was, like, trying to scoop and find her body. Or, if not the oar, she must have hit her head on the stump. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good argument, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. But, I mean, how can you explain all of the bruises on her legs? And the markings on her sweatshirt looked like she had been dragged at some point.
But also, he said he couldn't find her after she fell in. So how is he going to save her with an oar?
Oar, yeah. It's not adding up, sir.
No.
So the conviction came in 2016, and Felix was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. So even though Sharon and Annette's bodies have not been found, they have some sense of closure and justice, knowing that Felix, at 77 years old when sentenced, is in prison and will be there for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Mary Rose still wrote letters to Annette through the years, and I'm sure in some way it helped with her healing process. Mary Horton's brother, Will, got to make a statement in court. He said he looked Felix right in the eyes and said, "You are a killer. We all know it." Her older brother, Alan, says he wouldn't doubt that Annette and Sharon are in the Calcasieu River as well.
Yeah.
Alan said, "I hope he lives to 110. And Will says, "No, 150. Like, he needs to live and be miserable.
Exactly.
So Brian Hensley, he finally held a memorial service for Sharon. Mary Rose attended, and in fact, all three families have grown to be special friends and have stayed close.
That's so good.
Yeah. So Felix continues to hold his innocence and appeal his conviction.
Please.
But it keeps getting denied.
Yeah, good.
So Annette and Sharon are still missing. There have been mentions from others that Felix murdered a man in Mexico and a man in Louisiana.
I believe it 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So other girlfriends came forward and said that he beat them. There was mention of at least two other wives that he had, but they realized quickly that they needed to leave and quickly divorced him.
Good.
The crimes that we've talked about today stem from 1962 through 1984. I don't believe he just stopped in 1984. what was he doing from 1984 to 2016? I mean, that's a long time.
Well, he was moving around.
Yeah, killing people.
It's so funny. It's not funny, but it ends up being funny because these types of psychopaths rob from people. Like, he obviously groomed Annette. He took her house, took her inheritance, took her life, and he still ends up in a trailer with a missing window in shambles.
Yeah.
And then he still ends up a vagabond moving around.
Right.
No stability. So it's like they steal for money, but it's never enough to establish a life. And even if it was, they wouldn't stay in one place because that's just who they are.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point.
So it's like, joke's on you, loser.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. So, yeah, there could be other murders that we don't know about. A report that I read said that Felix is a person of interest in multiple cold cases in California.
Mm-hmm. I would look at his, you know, I would look at all the letters Annette was sending, like all those places, because the way she came home and she was like blank stare, maybe she witnessed something in her time with him. And maybe that really changed her and even like solidified the control he had over her.
True. I mean, I'm sure her mother kept all her letters. Like,
yeah. Get a map. That would be interesting. Start putting pins down and dates and.
I might call her mom.
We should call her mom.
Yeah. So there is a Facebook page called Do You Know Felix Vail? That might have information on there that can jog a memory that might help solve another case linked to him. I looked at it. Nothing's really been posted the last few years, but there might be something on there that somebody might click with, but there has to be information out there that someone could have on him that would help with Annette and finding Sharon.
Yeah.
Just know that you don't have to be scared of him anymore. If you're listening to this, just know you don't have to be scared of him. He's locked away. But the Calcasieu Sheriff's Department is still asking that if you have any information regarding the disappearances of Annette Craver and Sharon Hensley, please call 337-494-4523. And that's all I've got for you.
Well, thank you for telling their stories. It's really sad to me. And I feel like that kind of abuse is the worst kind because it hides in plain sight. And that controlling behavior isn't always apparent to people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
that's so sad.
It was even with Mary Horton, like they quickly got married and he was, I guess she thought he was fine. And then they all say, oh, he changed. Oh, now he's being controlling. Yeah. So, and even the parents didn't know how to help their
girls. That's the hardest thing. It's like, as a parent, you say, okay, well, do I want to ruin my relationship with my child? Do I want them to go off with this person and not have a relationship? Or do I want to support them in some type of way, you know, and remain in their life? Because it's like a tricky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's a very, very sad story. Sad stories. But thank you for telling their stories. And that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. Let's do it.
See you later, y'all. Guys. Bye.
Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.